Okay, as this evening's shiur again is dedicated by the Jacob and Malik families, Leilu Nishmat, their mother of Devora, Bat Shlomo Zalman. Just a few words about Mrs. Jacob. My first ever shiur in the community in West Orange was at her home. The first shiur I've ever given. So it's going back 9 years, and it's going back around this time of the year, about a month, another few couple of weeks. I gave a shiur on Pirkei Avot. And it was, now we're learning Pirkei Avot, so it must have been one of these weeks that was my first shiur. So it's definitely extra special being able to say some words of Torah in her memory. And I thank the Jacob and Malik families for sponsoring this evening's shiur. We are learning together Sefer Tehillim. The request was made that perhaps to focus on some of Mrs. Jacob's favorite Tehillim. Some of them that Sally sent me, we've already covered, but we're going to cover a couple of Pirkei Tehillim that we haven't learned yet that I think is already apropos to the situation that we're in, where we're all stuck at our homes, where we're all trying to figure out what's the future going to be like, what's going to be with our jobs and our families and our communities and our shul, school. There's so many different questions that are definitely zooming, no pun intended, but zooming through our minds, trying to figure out what's going to be. Definitely these two Pirkei Tehillim of Chaf Gimel and Chaf Dalet of 23 and 24, hopefully will give us a little bit of chizuk. For those who do have a Tehillim, I encourage you to follow along in the text. The Tehillim could be found in Siduim, in Tanakh, again, 23 and 24. These will also be very familiar Tehillim, so you might already know some of these Mizmorei Tehillim by heart. The Mizmor of 23, Mizmor Chav Gimel, is the Mizmor that is said so many times that we've probably or know it by heart, because many have this minhag to say it every Friday night. They have this minhag to say it perhaps before they partake of their meal and eat bread. And there's also this minhag that is said that when, unfortunately, at a funeral, people have recited this perek of Tehillim. And this is the perek of Mizmor LeDavid. This perek is broken up into two parts. Psukim Aleph through Dalid is the Mishorer, David HaMelech, compares himself to sheep and Hashem is the shepherd. And then the last two psukim of Hey and Vav is that the Mishorer, David HaMelech, compares himself to a guest in the house of Hashem. And you'll see this progression of the way David HaMelech looks at himself with regards to Hashem. And then also, as David HaMelech is going to see himself with regards to being a guest in the house of Hashem. Now, obviously, being a guest is very different than being sheep, than being part of a flock. As you'll be able to see, there is so much that one could really understand from just being compared to sheep, that perhaps, again, we'd be able to really take for us as what we're going through right now in this COVID era. Pasuk Aleph, Mizmor LeDavid, a song by David HaMelech. Hashem ro'i lo echsar, God is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. David HaMelech, in the beginning, immediately says, I understand this relationship that I have with God. God is my shepherd, and I am sheep. And I know that God will not deny me, lo echsar, He will not deny me any legitimate need. Sheep, hopefully, that they know and they realize that the shepherd will provide them food, will provide them a place that they could go and graze, will provide them shelter. They're able to feel safe, knowing that the ro'eh, the shepherd, is there all the time. And just as lamb are vulnerable, they're scared of the animals that surround them, they're scared of the environment, but the shepherd will be the one to take care of them. And David HaMelech immediately compares himself to that Ro'en, that Hashem is a shepherd, and that Hashem always will take care of him, no matter where he is, no matter what happens to him in his life. In the lush meadows, he lays me down, and by the tranquil waters, he leads me. So he gives me food, and he gives me water. Nafshi yeshovev, he restores my soul. Yancheni v'maglei tzedek leman shemo, and he guides me on paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Here David HaMelech not only realizes that God is his shepherd and that God will take care of him, but as the the Seh as the sheep, he happens and has to be as the lamb, he happens to know that everything he does is for the shepherd. He is working for the shepherd, that the shepherd eventually will need his wool, that the shepherd eventually is going to need something from this lamb. And the lamb continues to graze and to eat and to do what it needs to do for the shepherd. And so David HaMelech says that there's a sense of relief knowing that everything that I do in this world is controlled by Hashem, and that I'm doing it for Hashem. And it kind of like takes away this pressure for people to figure things out, right? What's going to be? What's happening in life? Why am I going down this path of life? And for David HaMelech, who had at times a very terrible and horrible life, the questions that kept running through his mind was, why is this happening to me? Why am I running away? Why am I running away from my son? Why am I running away from my enemies? And all he knows is that he just has to do what he needs to do because God is leading him down a path that he does not know. But what gives him comfort? Gam ki elech begeit salmavet lo irara, ki atai imadi. Now, even when I walk in the valley of overshadowed by death, and literally, the valley where he left Yerushalayim, went up down the valley, if you think of the old city of Yerushalayim, right outside by Shaar Tzion and Yafo, where you have that valley where it dips. They think perhaps that's where, that might be one of the, some of the area that David HaMelech ran out to, or outside Dung Gate, going out in those area, going towards Har Zeitim. You go down the valley, the Yerushalayim and the old city and that of the Beit HaMikdash is on top of the mountain, and he leaves that area and he goes down the valley and eventually tries to find where he's going to hide. He realizes as he's running and he's running away through this valley, overshadowed by death, his son wants to kill him, his enemies want to kill him, he does not fear the evil. Why? Because these are the three key words: Ki Ata Imadi, because God, you are with me. No matter what, you can constantly are there with me. Sometimes it's difficult to feel that. Sometimes one needs to really push themselves cognitively, emotionally, to really think that God is with them. But David HaMelech, in even the darkest moments of his life, the only comfort he had was knowing that God was with him. Believe me, his comfort wasn't that he thought he would once again be the king of Israel. He thought it was over and it's doomed. But knowing that Hashem is there to steer his path and his life, to show him where to go, that in itself was his comfort. Shiv Techa Umishantecha Hema Yanachamuni. Your rod, Shevet, and Mishantecha is a stick that's used for the shepherd to lean on when shepherds are moving along the stones and the rocks and the fields and the grass. Sometimes they need a place to sit. So if you ever see some of these souped up canes, the older people have, they have these canes and they have like a little cushion that you open up and you could sit. So the shepherds had this little part where they could lean on their cane. And so he says to him, even though you hit me with your rod, even though a shepherd hits the sheep and the lamb and the animals with the rod, and even though it might steer them into a path, Hema Yenachamuni, that's their comfort. Why is that their comfort? Because they know that the shepherd is still with them. Because you know what happens when they don't get the little zets during the day, and they don't get it the next day, and they don't want to get it the next day? They realize they're lost. They realize they're all by themselves. Either they're separated from their flock, or something happened to the shepherd, and nobody is there with the flock. But what happens to them is they're all scared. They're all nervous. They're vulnerable again. They're vulnerable to the environment. They're vulnerable to the animals. They're vulnerable. Who is going to take care of them? Where is their comfort? Yes, that hit is painful at that moment, but at least they know there is a connection. There's someone who's taking care of them. And David HaMelech says, I know I'm getting a little bit of a hit here and there, and I know that's painful, and I don't want it. And of course nobody wants that. But the only comfort I have is knowing that at least Hashem is there with me, is that God is there. He's the one who's doing that to me. As parents, or for those who've had that experience with their own parents, you know, that hug and that kiss and that feeling of warmth and love is one that a child always waits for and always anticipates. And a child never anticipates a parent screaming and yelling at them, right? If a child is about to cross the street and God forbid there is a car there, of course you're going to scream and yell, stop, don't go there. And why are you doing that? You're doing that to save their life. You're doing that for them to, some, God forbid, nothing's going to happen to them. But for the child at the moment, they're scared. My parents yelled at me. They screamed at me. They don't love me anymore. All the things that you must have heard from your children or that you must have might have said to your parents. But what are they doing? What they're trying to do is to save us. Years later, we find comfort knowing that scream and that yell was there to protect us for our sake. And so David HaMelech says the same thing. My nechama, my comfort is knowing that God, you are with me. And perhaps this is why when a person visits someone Shiva, either by the Sfadim, they say, Min ha-shamayim tinuchamu, you should find comfort through heaven, or ha-makom yinachem etchem betoch shav le-tzion v'yerushalayim. We're invoking the name of God, or we're invoking Shamayim, heaven, to let the person who's sitting Shiva know that perhaps it's very difficult now to see good in life and to feel comfort in life, but knowing that God is still with you, that you are not alone, that you have someone to turn to, is in itself very, very comforting. You think of all the people who, unfortunately, you know, who don't have that faith. You wonder and you ask yourselves, what happens when their backs are against the wall and nobody's there to save them? There are people who are alone, who have no family or friends. Who's there for them? How do they stay sane? Well, therapy helps them. The therapist is there to be there for them. And for some people, it is the ability to speak to God that gives them a little bit of that comfort. In our Shirim last year, on Shirim B'Tfilah, on prayer, I always say this, and I think I say this every shiur. If you are bored and you want to listen to every shiur I've given, I think at least once I say it in every shiur, is that how important it is to take 2 to 3 minutes just to talk to God. Yes, you'll sound like a crazy person, and that's okay. But it's worth doing, because A, it shows you have a connection to Hashem, but also it allows yourself to have that conversation, a real, real connection. People go through the motions of tefillah. They go through the motions of limud Torah, of keeping Shabbat, the motions of whatever mitzvot that they do. But the emotion without the emotion is unfortunately sometimes dry. And how dry it could be, we lose that luster and excitement and joy of what it has to, and especially the connection. That's the thing we lose the most. So a person should really take 2 to 3 minutes to speak to Hashem, whether, I don't know, washing dishes, driving a car, picking up kids, eating dinner, lunch, taking a run, a jog, whatever it may be. That's so important. It's so important to have that connection, because it's going to bring comfort, as David HaMelech says. Hey, ma yinachamuni. Now David HaMelech shifts. He says, all right, perhaps I want to move away from that image of God being the shepherd who hits me and I get the little hit knowing that God is there with me. But you know what, Hashem, what I want to have, you know what the ultimate relationship is? Ultimate relationship is being a guest in your house. It's being able to be invited. You open the door, arms out. Hashem says, come in, welcome. What can I get for you? Do you want to eat something? Would you like to drink something? Come sit next to me. Let's talk. Let's chat. That sometimes, obviously, or for the most part, is what we're looking for. Is that relationship? And these last two psukim is probably a tefillah from David HaMelech. It's a prayer. And David HaMelech prayed, just like we all prayed. David HaMelech says, I acknowledge God that you are leading me in my path. Yes, I'm running away. And perhaps at night, as David HaMelech ran away from the valley of death, and he's probably hiding in some cave, hiding away from his enemies, he's probably offering these two psukim as a tefillah. Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan negatzorai. God, I want you to prepare for me a table in the view of my tormentors. Kind of like shove it in their faces. I want my enemies to see that you and me, we're a team. I want my enemies to see that you protect me. I want my enemies to see that I'm invited to your home and that they are not invited. Dishanta v'ashem el roshi kosi revaya. And you anointed with oil my head. Show them, look, as David HaMelech was anointed, as a king, he was anointed by the oil. And he says, look, everyone, look at all the oil. It's still dripping down my head. My kosi revaya, my cup overflows. Look, nothing you could do about this. God chose me, God wants me, and therefore, as a guest, I'm going to be with Hashem. Achtov achesed yirdufuni kol yemei chayai, and maybe, and may only goodness and kindness pursue me all the days of my life. v'shafti b'veit Hashem l'orech yamim, and I should dwell in the house of Hashem for the length of days. David HaMelech says what we all want. God, you know when we want to feel your presence, it should be for good only. I don't want to feel your presence when you're hitting me. I don't want to feel your presence when I'm running away from my enemies and when there's tzarot. God, I want to feel your presence when you invite me as a guest. I want to feel your goodness and your kindness. I want that to pursue me. Your defuni kol yemei chayai, the goodness and the kindness. Not that my enemies are chasing me, but that God, your goodness and kindness is chasing me. That's what I always want. And you know what? The ultimate is I should dwell in the house of Hashem for the length of days. And that I should always feel your presence, Hashem. Not that I should feel your presence when they're coming after me and they're hitting me. I should feel your presence when there's also goodness and kindness that continues to pursue me. That is what I always want. It's almost like if our, perhaps add the two words for the last pasuk, Yihi ratzon, achtov achesed yirdufuni. May it be that goodness and kindness will pursue me all of my life. This perek is again used in so many areas of our life. It's a mizmor number one that's for Knesset Yisrael. It's a mizmor that's used for the Jewish people. That as Jewish people, we go through centuries, unfortunately, feeling the rod and the staff of our enemies. But we pray and we know that God is there with us. You think of all the heroes of those who perhaps were running away from the destruction of the temple, of the Spanish Inquisition, the pogroms and the heroes of the Holocaust, the people who still had the faith in Hashem all through the horrors of hell and the flames of hell, had to be able to still say, God, I know you're there with me. That's Knesset Yisrael, that's the Jewish people at all the time who, no matter what, feel the presence of Hashem. Yes, we pray. It should be betov v'chesed. Of course we pray it should be through kindness and goodness, but the many times that we feel the shiv techa umish antecha, we feel the rod and the staff, but hema yinachamuni, we still know and have comfort that God is there with us. There's the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin that suggests and first wonders and asks the question: what do we do with the fourth cup of wine on Pesach? Okay, and they say, well, the fourth cup of wine of Pesach, you finish Hallel with it. Okay, we finish Hallel with it, and Omer Alav Birkot Shir, and you're supposed to sing you're supposed to recite a blessing of song with the Hallel. So the Gemara wonders, what is this blessing of song? So one opinion says, Yahalelucha Hashem Elokeinu, that we sing, that we're going to praise God for everything that He does for us. And another opinion says, Nishmat Kol Chai, the praise of, that we say that a person's soul should praise Hashem. But then there's another opinion, the last opinion, and that is, Hashem ro'i lo echsam. Now, we don't have this in our text in the Haggadah, but there was a suggestion that we should end off the night of Pesach, the last cup that we're about to drink, the last moment, right before we sing Haggadah, Echad mi yodea adiru, all the great songs that we sing, the last piece that we end off is this Mizmor leDavid, Hashem ro'i lo echsam. And that is because as Knesset Yisrael, as a Jewish people, every year we go through the same feeling. We wonder and we ask, how is this year going to be different? What's going to be with the Jewish people? What's going to be with Am Yisrael? What's going to be with this world? Who would have thought last Pesach, people would have been alone on Pesach? Who would have thought last Pesach that we wouldn't be with our children and grandchildren, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, friends, neighbors? Nobody would have ever thought of that. But the suggestion was, this is the way we should end. Because no matter what happens, the one comforting feeling that we have is that we know that Hashem is there with us at all times. And that we have that ability to speak to Hashem and to feel the presence of Hashem. But obviously for David HaMelech, this was a mizmo that he had for himself. It wasn't a mizmo that he perhaps thought for Knesset Yisrael, for the Jewish people, but David HaMelech is human, and he wrote these mizmorim because a lot of times he was going through some tzara, and he wrote this as perhaps a tefillah for us, who might be going through similar tzarot. And this is said by people at a funeral, where a mizmo that is said, a low person is at the lowest point in their life, where sometimes they feel hopeless, they feel helpless. What's going to be? And lo aleinu, there are situations where not a dry eye is there in the crowd of horrible things of the way people die and what happens to, we don't need to discuss that. But we say this mizmor because at the end of the day, for some people, what keeps them going is just their emuna, is their faith. It's knowing that, you know, Hashem is there at all times. But is there also, this is said also as a happy song. It's a song that's said at Suda Shlishit, for those who spend time in camp, you know, Mizmor LeDavid. It's something that, you know, ebbs out Shabbat. It's a song that some people say it in three tunes, three different tunes. It's a song that at our shul we say it at Suda Shlishit. It's supposed to be a song that's also sang for inspiration, for excitement. Many Sephardic communities recite this as right before their kiddush. Mizmor LeDavid, and then they go straight into the Kiddush. It's brought down by the Magen Avraham, that actually the minhag that the Magen Avraham brings down is that you wash your hands for Netilat Yadayim, you say Mizmor LeDavid, and then you say Hamotzi. And growing up, my father did this. And the Chacham that I thought I was, when I said, hey, you can't have a hefsik between washing your hands and making a bracha, you know, as a teenager, I thought I was smarter than my father. I made my father stop that minhag. What can I do? I didn't know better. I feel like I should really call back my father and tell him, no, there's basis in what you're doing. I feel like I killed many of his minhagim that I thought were made up, but really had a source to it. But he would say it, and he didn't know, but he realized that there's something connected between the bread and the Mizmor LeDavid. And Sephardic communities, they say Friday night, at the end of the tefillah of Arvit, of Ma'ariv, right before Aleinu L'Shabeach, this is the last piece that they sing, Mizmor LeDavid. So there's obviously a connection with Shabbat, and with bread, and with food. And that connection is probably in that our faith in Hashem obviously has to do with our parnasah, with our money, with our jobs. We have faith in Hashem that no matter what, there are sometimes the bad days, there are the really, really rough days, and the Yiratzon, this should only be the good days, but we have those rough days. And yet we still have that emuna and Hashem, that Hashem is there to take care of us. On Shabbat, we recite this, because Shabbat is the day that people don't go to work. Shabbat is that day where we feel like perhaps we're cut off from the rest of the world, where we don't know what's going on. I'll tell you, right after 3-day Yom Tov, who didn't go straight to their phones or to their TVs just to find out what's happening with this COVID, you know, what's going on, the news, and is there a miracle that we're going to hear at the end when we turn on our TVs or our phones? It's after you feel like you're isolated for 3 days, but that in itself is a bracha that Hashem says, all you have right now is nothing. It's just the faith in me. It's the emunah that you have in Hashem on the day of Shabbat, where we're supposed to tap into that spirituality. It's the day where we're supposed to tap into feel Hashem and only feel Hashem. You know, this Shabbos Garet, you don't talk about this, you don't talk about that, you don't talk about business, you don't talk, everyone has things that they don't talk about. But on Shabbat, what are you supposed to talk about? You're supposed to talk about Hashem. You're supposed to feel that essence of getting close to Hashem, and that is through the Mizmor LeDavid. I heard a beautiful story, and I think there are different editions of this story, so you might have heard this as well. I don't know if it's true, but it's still a very beautiful story. In the late 1800s, there was obviously a time before modern entertainment, and there were a lot of actors, and you would go to watch, you know, the actors perform, obviously during the Shakespearean days, that's what they did, and many people go to Broadway to see the actors. So before movies, television, internet, people for entertainment, they would go to the actors, and these actors would go from town to town, and they stopped by one town. And the place was packed, the audience was excited, they were enthusiastic, they knew that there was this one actor, an unbelievable orator, he knows how to recite passages by heart, and the great plays, and the poems, and the literature. Well, they're all waiting, and at the end of the performance, as he's about to finish, somebody shouts out, says, we want more, and everyone's clapping their hands, we want more, and the actor says, you know what, I want to show you what a great actor I am, pick something. Pick and I'll play, and I will act a few scenes and show you what a great orator, what a great actor I am. And this old man screams from the audience, Psalm 23. He says, oh, Psalm 23, no problem. And this, he gets up and he says, The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. In the lush meadows that he leads me. And he recites this Mizmor le David in a very beautiful, poetic way. Really, each one, each word saying with such enthusiasm, and the parts are to be said in a very low key. He says low key, and the parts say excitement. He says it with excitement. Unbelievable. And he says right at the end, when he's about to finish, and everyone's about to clap their hands, and they're clapping, and he says, "Okay, old man, now it's your turn." The old man gets up, and he says the same thing. And he goes through each part, the Psalm by David, Hashem, God is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And he says the entire Mizmor le David. And at the end, there's not a clap. And instead, there are only tears. And everyone's wiping the tears. And the curtains go down, and that's the end of it. This young orator quickly tries to find this old man who recited this psalm. And he went over to him, and he says, "I don't get it. I've been going from town to town, and everyone is excited when I come, and they're clapping their hands, and you know they're throwing flowers at me, and standing ovations. But you got them to cry. You made them cry. What did you do? Why is it that you made them cry, and I made them stand and clap their hands?" And this old man looks at him, and he says, "Well, you know the son. I know the shepherd. That you know how to recite it, but I know the shepherd. I feel the presence of God when I say it. I feel like I am that lamb, and that I feel that God is my shepherd." When we recite this mizmor is to be said with a feeling. Whether it's a feeling of God help me with my parnasah, whether it's a feeling of God make me feel your presence as I say this at Suda Shlishi towards the end of Shabbat, or God, I'm going through really rough patches of my life. Allow me to feel your presence, so at least I know that my life is there for a reason, that I know that I'm here for a purpose, and that somehow, I don't know what it may be now, but I hope to God that one day I know what that purpose is, but I know you are my shepherd, and you are the one who is leading me down that path. Mizmor Chaf Dalet, 24. A little bit more of an upbeat mizmor. This mizmor of Chaf Dalet is also a Le David mizmor. But this mizmor is, if you look at the words, a little different than that of Chaf Gimel. Chaf Gimel started with Mizmor Le David, a psalm by David, and here it's Le David mizmor. By David, a psalm, a song. And what is the difference between the two? So we're told that when it says Mizmor le David, that means that at first David HaMelech had Ruach HaKodesh, he had this inspiration, and then he was able to sing a psalm. You see, a lot of these psalms, a lot of these Tehillim that are written by, and not only David HaMelech, but written by many people, it's because they were inspired, they felt the presence of Hashem, and they sang a psalm. Le David Mizmor means that David himself, he composed this song, and then only after did he have the presence of Hashem there. And I think it's so interesting to see that contrast, because people sing a song when they feel like they feel the presence of God. Then everything's great and dandy and everyone's happy, then they start singing. But sometimes we need to sing a song when we don't yet feel the presence of Hashem, when we're not yet inspired, because that inspiration could come from the song itself. The David Mizmor Hashem Haaretz Umloah Teva VeYoshva. David HaMelech says to God, "God, Hashem is the earth. It's Hashem is the earth and its fullness, the inhabited land and those who dwell in it. Ki hu al yamim yesada ve'al neharot yechoneneha. Because he, what did he do? He made the seas. He founded it. He brought the foundation of the world. Ve'al neharot yechoneneha, and upon the rivers he established it. Miyale behar Hashem umiyakum mikom kodesh." And who will ascend the mountain of Hashem, and who will stand in the place of His sanctity? Immediately, I think what you notice is in that Pasuk Aleph and Bet is about the creation of the world. And now David HaMelech shifts the question of who is going to ascend the mountain, and who will go up to Hashem. And eventually, he's going to have an answer for that. So the first question that we're going to have to eventually get to is what's the connection between the creation of the world and ascending the mountain of Hashem? But in Pasuk Gimel, of ascending the mountain of Hashem, what does David HaMelech say? He doesn't just say, who will go up the mountain, but he ends off with, Who will stand in the place of his sanctity? Who will climb the mountain of God, but also stand on top of the mountain? David HaMelech says it's not enough just to climb the mountain and climb towards God. We need to obviously always continue climbing the mountain of God. But really the ultimate is to actually get to the top of the mountain. To feel like you conquered. You're there. You finally have made it. You've sustained whatever adversaries may be. You've sustained it and you're there on top of the mountain and you feel that God is there on top with you. Niki chapayim uvar levav. With clean hands and pure heart, asher lo nasa lashav nafshi velo nishba limirba, who does not swear in the name of Hashem falsely and is not deceitful. God, who is this person who will climb the mountain of God? Someone who will be honest. Someone who is going to be pure hearted. Who is the one to climb the mountain of Hashem? Who is the one who is going to be zochet to be in the house of God? Who is the one who is going to feel the presence of Hashem? Someone who is honest. Someone who is honest with themselves and someone who is honest with other people as well. David HaMelech, unfortunately, met people in his life who were deceitful, who were dishonest. Some of his best friends turned their back against David HaMelech. He had people, his advisors, who turned their back against David HaMelech and joined the enemy. His own son came to kill him, who was chasing him. Avshalom was chasing him. David HaMelech felt that all these fakers are out there. They all think that they're climbing the mountain of God, that they're all doing this L'Shem Shamayim, but they're incorrect. They are wrong. They're climbing their own mountain. They're climbing their own ladder to get to a certain place for their own cover, for their honor. And God, it is only the people who are pure-hearted, who do not swear in your name in vain, and who are not deceitful. Those are the people who are truly the ones who are zocha, who should merit to climb your mountain. Yisa bracha me'et Hashem, and someone who climbs the mountain in honesty will receive that bracha from Hashem. Utzdakah me'elokei yisho, and kindness from Hashem, and you will receive kindness from Hashem of his salvation. Zedo doshav me'akshef anecha Yaakov Sela. And it's this generation of those who seek him, for those who strive for your presence, the nation of Hashem, Selah. What David HaMelech does right now is that he asks the question. The question was, who will be zocha, who will merit to climb the mountain of God? And his answer is, only someone who is honest. And then he ends off with Selah. Selah usually means the end. And then what does he do? He continues. And he speaks now of opening the gates so Hashem's glory will come. And the second question is, okay, what's the connection between David HaMelech's words in the first six psukim, to the last four psukim? And let's read the last four psukim. Si'u she'arim ha'shechem, v'inasu pitche olam, and if you would like, you're all muted, you could sing along if you would like to, nobody will hear you. But si'u she'arim ha'shechem, rise up, O gates of your heads, and be uplifted, hinasu pitche olam, uplift your everlasting entrances, v'yavo melech hakavo. David HaMelech is praying to God. At this moment of his life, what's happening is that David HaMelech was not zoche. He did not merit to build the Beit HaMikdash. God said to David HaMelech, David, I know you want to build it so badly, and you've asked to build the Beit HaMikdash, and the truth is you should probably be the one to build the Beit HaMikdash. It's only fitting that you'll be the one to build the Beit HaMikdash because you're also the one who acquired the land. You conquered Yavus, which is Yerushalayim. You purchased the land where Har HaBayit is. It only makes sense that you should be the one to build it as well. But David HaMelech unfortunately wasn't able to. As God said to David HaMelech, you have blood on your hand. Not that, God forbid, doesn't mean that you are a murderer, that you are a bad person. But as a warrior and as a fighter, as a leader, you did the right thing. You went and you fought the enemies of the Jewish people. But at the end of the day, the Beit HaMikdash is a place of peace. It's a place that all nations could come and could visit. And if you think of the Kotel, and if you ever visit the Kotel, especially in the summer months, it's like the United Nations there. You have everyone from all over the world, from Africa, from Asia, from South America, from North America, everyone all over the world, they're there to visit this unbelievable holy place. And yes, Even the non-Jews are there to cry by the Kotel. They pray by the Kotel. They kiss the walls of the Kotel. Because everyone who comes to visit knows that there's something special about this place. The Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be that place. Anyone and everyone is welcome to visit the Beit HaMikdash. But David HaMelech, because you killed people, you can't build the Beit HaMikdash. But don't worry. Your son, Shlomo HaMelech, he will build the Beit HaMikdash. He is going to be your continuation and build your Beit HaMikdash. Says David HaMelech, well, God, if that's the case, if Shlomo HaMelech is going to build the Beit HaMikdash, make sure you open the gates for him. Don't embarrass him. Don't allow the gates to be shut and that your presence won't be there. Because you know what people are going to say? Why is it that the gates of Yerushalayim and the gates of the Beit HaMikdash are not open? Why doesn't God allow these gates to open? Because David HaMelech was a bad person. Because he sinned. He sinned with Bathsheba. And yes, this union of David and Bathsheba, Shlomo HaMelech. God doesn't want this child that came from that. If anyone knows the story, remembers the story, how David HaMelech, he saw this beautiful woman, Bathsheba, who at the time seemed to be that she was married to someone, and he devised a plan where the husband would be killed at war, and he married this woman, Bathsheba. A story that even he himself realizes that he made a mistake. He even wrote a psalm, he wrote a Tehillim for that. A Tehillim that we recite on Yom Kippur. And he wrote a Tehillim as a tshuva. Natan HaNavi came to David HaMelech and told him, you've done wrong, you've made a mistake. And yes, there are different perishim of what it exactly means. Did he really make a mistake? What happened? But at the end of the day, from the text itself and from David HaMelech's response, he realized he made a mistake. And this haunted him for his entire rest of his life. And he was hoping that God, when the time comes to open the gates of the Beit HaMikdash, when it's time to open those doors, allow your presence to be there and allow the doors to open. Don't embarrass me. And we're told in Masechet Shabbat, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, and it was time to bring the Aron to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was time to bring the Aron to the Holy of Holies, it was locked. They couldn't open it. And Shlomo HaMelech said, he sang to 24 different songs. He said so many different things and nothing happened. So finally Shlomo HaMelech says, you know what? I remember this poem that my father wrote. I remember my father said something years ago. Maybe I should recite that poem. And he says, open up gates. Allow the kavod, the honor of God to enter. And all of a sudden, the gates started, to shake a little bit. Oh, something's about to happen. And they were moving around, and he continued until finally, the Gemara talks about the back and forth, till finally they opened up completely, and they were able to bring the Aron, the holy ark, into the holiest place in the world. And the Gemara says, Be'oto sha'a, at that time, Nefchu p'nei kosonei David kishulei kedera. All of the haters of David, all the naysayers, all those who lived through the time of David and Shlomo said to themselves, there's no way these gates are going to open because David HaMelech is not such a great tzaddik. There's no way God will open those doors. What happened to them? They turned dark like charred bottom of a pot. Like when you burn your rice. Well, for the Persians, they kind of want to burn the rice on the bottom. But if you're burned too much and it's really, really, really black and you can't even get to it and it's inedible, that's what their faces turned black. They didn't even know what to respond. This was what David HaMelech said to Shlomo. This is a psalm that we recite when we open the Ark of the Torah and we return the Sefer Torah of Simchat Torah. People sing Si'u She'arim. I remember my years in Yeshiva in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael. We sang Si'u She'arim Hashem for an hour straight. An hour straight. They went on back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We really felt the presence of the Shekhinah and that the Torah was being brought back to the Aron. Like you feel like you're once again playing that scene for Shlomo HaMelech and the tefillah that David had said. It's unbelievable at that time. And David HaMelech is saying to God, God, I want you to open those gates when it's time to open the gates. Who is the King of Glory? Hashem, the mighty and the strong. Hashem is the strong in battle. It's all God. Once again, he says it and he continues on with that theme, with that idea. for David HaMelech, this mizmor is a mizmor of hope. It's a mizmor of a tefillah for hope of the future. And it's that hope that David HaMelech says, that I hope my son Shlomo HaMelech, when it's time for him to bring it in, God, don't embarrass us. Allow for that to happen. The Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim that when it says Mizmor the Gemara teaches us that at this point, when David HaMelech said these words, then the Ruach HaKodesh came to him. Because on his own, he felt that he wanted to do something to connect to Hashem. And Hashem then came down to him. The Malbim says, what is the connection? What's going on? First, we're speaking about creation of the world and ascending the mountain, and then bringing the Holy Ark into the Kodesh HaKadashim. The Malbim says, this Mizmor is about connecting heaven and earth. It's about connecting the Se'u She'arim HaShechem, the gates of the Beit HaMikdash, the gates of heaven, and this world of what God created and us ascending that world. God created the world for us to live in. We're here for a purpose. We're here for whatever reason we are in this world. We say in the morning, "Mode ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam, shechazalta bi nishmati bechemla rabba emunatecha." We are wake up in the morning because rabba emunatecha, because God has faith in us. Why? Why does God have faith in me? I'm one of billions of people. There's something in this world that I'm put in this world that I need to do. What is it? I hope to figure that out, but I'm here for a reason, because there's something that I need to do. And here, God says to us, David HaMelech says, first of all, he says to us, God created the world for us. Our job is to ascend the mountain. Our job is to climb that mountain. Yes, it's tough and it's rough, and sometimes there's the avalanche and we go back down. But we need, our goal is to get to the top of the mountain. But once we're, you know what happens when we're on top of the mountain? Su'u she'arim ha'shechem inasu pitchei olam. When we get to the top of the mountain, then heaven comes down to us. When we are on top of the mountain, the highest point of earth, mountain is the highest point of earth, of the land that we could live on, then God from the heaven will come down. Then God will be able to join with us. Then the Shekhinah will come and join with us. In the Sifrei Chasidim, they speak of iteruta de letata, iteruta de le'ela. Sometimes, man, we need to do something. Letata means in this world, we need to figure out what we need to do, and then eventually, God will come down to us. And sometimes, iteruta de le'ela, sometimes on the top, God does something for us, and then we come and we join to God. Life is, right now, what David HaMelech says, our job to climb that mountain. The moment we climb the mountain, the moment that we are able to get to the top of the mountain, Hashem will come down and He'll be able to connect to us. This is a tefillah that is also said on the Yamim Noraim, on the high holidays. It's a tefillah that is said by Sephardic communities when the Aron is open towards the end of the tefillah, for tefillah the parnasah, for sustenance. Because we realize that when we do our part, when we're honest, as David HaMelech says, when we're true in business, and we're honest in business, and we do what we could do, and we have faith in Hashem, we hope then, Mi Yaleh Behal Hashem Umi Yakum Bikum Kodesho. We hope that after we do climb, Su'u She'arim HaShechem Nasu Pitchei Olam, that the gates will be open, and that Hashem will be able to provide for us here in this world, that Hashem will be able to connect us, and that we hope that after we do our part, we should always feel the presence of Hashem in our life, in every part of our lives.